Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville. You can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs. You can also just Google my name. There's not a lot of Stan McCunes, M-C-C-U-N-E, in the world. So, you can just look me up. Look me up on AI, all of the options. I'm out there. But if you have any real estate needs, please look me up. And at the very least, you can just find me in the contact notes in the description, my contact notes in the description of the show. And please, if for no other reason than to just support the show, please just subscribe, like, review, any of those things in whatever podcast platform that you're listening or watching on. It is on YouTube. If you're just a listener, not a watcher, feel free to watch on YouTube. Sometimes I have some good graphics and whatnot for you guys to look at, so I'd appreciate it if you could do that. By the way, if you are looking on YouTube, you'll notice my microphone is, like, really prominent today. I'm playing around with microphone placement right now, and if you're listening, if it sounds louder than normal, that's possibly a reason as well. But I'm just trying to play around with the sound a little bit, just to try to see if I can just get the sound to be a little bit better. That's something that's important to me, and I'm sure it's important to you if you're listening to this. So, give me some feedback if you felt like it was better, if it was worse. I'd be curious to hear what you all have to say. A few years ago, I did a podcast. It was one of my favorite episodes actually that I've ever done, on price reductions. And I concluded from that podcast that when you dramatically overprice a home, and by dramatically, I meant overpriced by $15,000 or more, that you end up losing $12 a square foot versus if you had just priced it correctly the first time. So basically, you know, a 2,000 square foot home, you're losing $24,000 versus if you had just priced it correctly the first time. So 2,000 square foot home, let's say it's worth $300,000 and you priced it at $325,000, right? Thinking you could game the system, but it's only worth $300,000. Had you priced it at $300,000, you would have sold it. But pricing at $325,000, you actually sold it for $280,000, okay? And really closer to $270,000, $276,000, right? 2,000 square foot home times $12 a square foot, $24,000. So you would have, even though you priced it higher, you sold for less. That's how the math works. That's what people tend to not understand. And particularly, you know, I'll hear this sometimes where I'll have clients that are like, my neighbors thought that you underpriced my home. And it's like, yeah, well, your neighbors don't do this for a living, for one thing. But also, people think that they can just conjure up a price. And they also don't understand how devastating it is once you have to start making multiple price cuts. I'm not going to say that I haven't had any listings that have, you know, had to have price cuts over the years. Sure, it happens. Some listings are hard to price. Some listings have some challenging things that you have to get over, and you have to factor that in and eventually kind of adjust on the fly. Maybe you have to reduce the price at that point. But I really, really try hard not to have price reductions, and I'm on a streak right now. In fact, today, I have been working the entire day on a multiple offer situation on one of my listings, but I've had multiple listings in a row now where I've not had to do a price reduction. Because I'm just trying to make even more of an effort to get out in front of this in terms of where the market is right now. And we talked a lot about where the market is. You know, it's not exactly a seller's market right now. And so that's why it's so important, so important to price your home correctly. Because if you don't, it does not matter. The level of marketing that you do will never, ever be able to overcome a poorly priced home. I can do the greatest cinematic video trying to market your home, and if it's overpriced, nobody's gonna watch it. Nobody's gonna care, because all they're gonna do is look at that price. Like, what are they smoking, right? That's how buyers think. And then once you start reducing the price on your home, what do buyers think? Something wrong with that home. Or maybe they think, well, they've already come down this far. I mean, let's just throw them an offer that's $30,000, $40,000 below that and see what happens. That is what buyers think. And regardless of whether they should think that way, that's how they think, okay? So you have to, if you're a seller, you have to think like a buyer. That's so very important, okay? But I'm not here to preach at you guys, okay? I know that was a little bit preachy. I want to do kind of a sequel to that episode from a few years ago and look at price reductions from kind of a different angle. Less trying to figure out, okay, what, exactly is the price per square foot in 2026, by which we are losing money if we overprice a home. I just took the entire past year of closings and just assessed what kind of price reductions are happening, what are the averages, all of this, and there's some very interesting stuff in the data. Now, before we get into that data, and of course, I'm not just going to be spewing stats at you. I'm going to give you some interesting and some conclusive things to hang your hat on once you understand the data. But before we get into it, I want to explain a few things, okay? Price reductions are a weird thing on multiple levels because, for instance, a $2 million home might have a $200,000 price reduction. And that's, I don't want to say it's like no big deal, but that's pretty commonplace, right? 10% of the value of the home, or 10% of the list price of the home, that's not that unusual. But to have a $200,000 reduction on like a $500,000 home, well, that's 40% of the home value. Like that's a whole different type of conversation. And so Greenville is, our average / median home value around here is hovering kind of in that 315 to 325 range, the median, not so much the average. And so once we start getting these homes that are million plus, it can tend to skew the data. So I'm just going to tell you right away, I pulled all homes that sold for a million plus. I pulled all of those out of the data. It was just skewing the numbers way too much. It was creating all these weird fluctuations. We don't need that. This is not an episode that is specifically for the luxury housing market in Greenville, which a million plus really does qualify as a luxury house for the Greenville market. All of these rules don't apply as much to luxury housing. It's pretty commonplace for luxury housing to have price reductions. A lot of them do. And it's not as devastating if it's a luxury house to have that sort of a price reduction as it is if it's like a $300,000 or $400,000 house, for instance. Okay. So that's one thing I did. I also had to clean up a lot of data. I always have to do this when I'm pulling tons of data out of the multiple listing service. Realtors will price home, they'll price a $300,000 home as $300 million and then realize their mistake and then correct it. Well, in the data, it shows up as the original list price is $300 million. And then I can see, oh, they reduced it dramatically down to $300,000. Obviously, that sort of a price reduction is going to skew the data. So I tried to remove as many of those as I could find. It's still not going to be perfect, but I think we're 95% of the way there. And I think the data that I have, is going to give us an accurate idea of what's happening in the Greenville market the past calendar year. I'm recording this on April 13th, 2026, what is happening in the world of price reductions in the greater Greenville market. So let's jump right into this data. We have had the past year out of, and again, this is after I removed million-dollar listings and also some others that that were kind of messy. We had 17,103 listings in the data set that I looked at from the past year. And of those, 7,724 had price reductions. That's 45.16%. Nearly half of listings had a price reduction at some point during the period of time that it was listed. And honestly, one thing I didn't do with this data is go in and remove duplicate listings or factor in for the fact that sometimes people like myself don't do a price reduction. We will usually, it depends on the listing. There's different variability, but oftentimes I will delist a home and then relist it with a lower price. Okay. I did not account for that. So even though the number according to the data set that I have here, is 45% and change had a price reduction. That number probably should be higher. There's a very good chance that over 50% of the listings in the greater Greenville area right now are seeing a price reduction at some point in the listing cycle. Not great. That is not great. The average price reduction was $9,790. And the average sold price was $335,873 for those homes that had a price reduction. So on average, they had to reduce their price by 2.91% during the time that it was listed. Additionally, in addition to having to do a lower price, they also had to pay for closing costs to the tune of $8,691 in closing costs. Now, what this doesn't include is whatever they're paying to realtors. I don't know what they're paying to realtors. This is just the buyer closing costs that are being paid by the seller, $8,691, which is actually quite high, right? For a lot of loans, the maximum that you can pay as a seller of a buyer's closing costs is 3%, 3% of the purchase price. Well, if the average purchase price is $335, that puts us at around $10,000. So they're almost maxing that out. They're close to maxing that out. And a lot of loans don't even have $10,000 in closing costs. So if a buyer is getting, for a $335,000 house, nearly $9,000 in closing costs paid by the seller, they're not having to pay any closing costs, okay? So the sellers that are reducing their list price of their home, they're generally speaking paying for all the buyer's closing costs. And I mentioned that they're on average having to reduce the price by 2.91%. What I'm also not telling you here is that the average home sale in Greenville is about 2% below the list price, okay? So, and that is not factoring in price reductions. We talk about this every month when we talk about the market stats. So not only have they had to reduce the price by almost 3%, then they can expect to get 2% below that reduced price number, okay? So so just keep that in mind as well. Now, in terms of, let's see here, I'm gonna skip that for a second. I'm not going to skip this. So what about how many homes, how many listings, right, from the past year in this data set that I pulled had to both reduce the list price and then also pay for closing costs, right? That was something that kind of sparked my interest. It's like, okay, on average, these sellers that are having to reduce the list price are having to pay almost $8,700 towards the buyer's closing costs. Well, how many of those 7,724 listings that had price reductions actually also had to pay some sort of buyer closing costs? It ended up being 4,901. So that's 63.45% of the homes that had price reductions also eventually had to pay for the buyer's closing costs. And then when you look at the average difference between the reduced price and the sold price, and this is kind of what I already alluded to. Let's say that they reduce the price from 325 eventually all the way down to 300,000. Well, what ended up being the delta between what they listed for and what they sold for? They ended up selling for $6,645 less than their final list price. So that would come out to, if their final list price after reductions was $300,000, then they sold for $293,000 and change. So that's a lot of data, okay? What does all that data mean? Well, let's compare it to the entire data set, and then I think that this will all make sense to you guys. Now, one little caveat here. The entire data set also includes all the homes that have price reductions. Well, why, Stan, did you do it that way? Because I ran out of time. I ran out of time to parse out the homes that didn't have price reductions and compare all of them. But just know that the differences between these two is lower than it would be. It's less of a difference between the two. It would be a more stark difference if I had actually compared all the homes that had price reductions versus all the homes that didn't have price reductions If I compared the two, the differences between them would be dramatic, okay? But what I'm doing is not doing that. I'm simply comparing all the homes that had price reductions to the entire data set, which includes homes that did and didn't have price reductions as part of their listings, okay? Hopefully that makes sense. So the entire data set, the average sold price was $353,870, okay? I just told you that the average sold price for homes that had a price reduction was $335,873. Okay, so that is a difference of, what, $18,000, basically? A 5.36% difference between the two. So the entire data set sold for 5.36% higher than the homes that had price reductions. And again, if we were looking at the homes that didn't have price reductions, they sold much higher. It would be the conclusion from here if we pulled those out of the data set. Average closing costs, again, for those that had price reductions, it was $8,691 of the buyer's closing costs that the sellers had to pay. For the entire data set, it was only $4,791. Okay, so that is a difference. You know, the homes that the entire data set on average paid almost 45% fewer closing costs than the homes that had price reductions. And again, if I parsed out the homes that did not have any price reductions at all out of the entire data set, that number is probably substantially lower. I mean, I'm guessing it's way, way, way lower, probably to the tune of between 1 to 3,000 max in terms of buyer closing costs that are being paid by the seller on average. So a huge difference there. If you're reducing your price over the course of your listing, you can expect you're going to have to pay buyer closing costs in quite a few of them. I mentioned the percent total reductions, the percent total of listings that had price reductions that also had to pay closing costs was 63.45%. And if you look at the entire data set, only 56.84% had to pay closing costs. So 10.41% fewer listings than in the entire data set had to pay closing costs versus if you are having to reduce the price on your listing, you're having to pay those buyer closing costs on a rate that's over 10% higher than if you did not have to reduce the price. You starting to see how devastating, and I used this word the last time I did this podcast, it is devastating to have to make price reductions for the most part, okay? There are some exceptions, but again, we're going through line by line every single thing, and I didn't go into this data with an agenda, right? I went into this data looking to see, what does the data tell me? That's the way I always approach it, and the data just kept hammering away at these homes that had price reductions. And it's something that we as realtors, we always say price reductions are really, really bad. You don't want to do them. It hurts your listing. It hurts your marketability. But it's great when we can actually look at the statistics and see what is the actual difference. And even when we look at the average difference between the reduced price or the final list price and the sold price, even that is a big difference. So I said that the final list to sold price was the listings that had to reduce the list price then sold by $6,645 less than that final reduced list price. Well, what about the entire data set? The entire data set sold for $5,838 less than the final list price. So that is a difference of 12.14%. Okay, so if you are reducing the price of your home versus the entire data set, you're looking at again, that 12% number, we've talked about this number, that it's the exact same number that we talked about several years ago, a little bit different context, but it's reappearing here in this context, and that is that you're selling your home for more if you price it for less, okay? That is the big picture here. If you price your home, if you overprice it, then you have to reduce your price. You are paying more closing costs. Frequently, on average, you're having to pay closing costs more often. You're having to additionally then pay the offer that you're receiving is going to end up being less on average than the list price versus if you just priced it correctly the first time. And your average sold price is an entire 5.36% or $18,000 less than the entire data set. This is really, really bad, right? This is bad. Why? Because I just said that at minimum 45.16% of listings are having to reduce their price, at least in the past year. And I don't see any reason why that's going to change this year, because the market hasn't exactly gotten better this year. I mean, we thought maybe it was going to start getting better when mortgage rates started to go down a little bit. But you know, now mortgage rates are here. Let me pull up Mortgage News Daily and see what today's rate is. 6.39%. Not the best, but not the worst, right? But better than last year, but worse than a few weeks ago. Worse than it had been, you know, since basically September of last year. So again, that those mortgage rates going up kind of killed whatever little momentum we were starting to gain in the market. And so here's the thing. Everyone, I tell you guys this all the time, all right? Everyone thinks their home is worth more than it is. Everyone does. And everyone thinks that their neighbor's home is worth more than it is when they go to sell. Now, they don't think that, you know, if I'm selling, I think, oh, my neighbor's home, they're trash, right? That's what everyone does. Everyone plays those games. Listen, don't do that. You don't want to overprice your home even by a little. You overprice it even by a little, and then you're going to end up in a situation where you have to reduce the price beyond the point where you would have had to had you just listed it correctly the first time. And then you're also going to be paying higher closing costs towards the buyer's closing costs. And the whole thing ends up being just it's just negative for everyone, right? What I'm not even talking about, what the data that I didn't even pull here, is the average days on market. The average days on market is also higher for a home that has to have price reductions versus a home that doesn't, right? Because it's on the market for a long time. That's why it has the price reductions. And so it's really, really important that when you are going to sell your home, that you don't make these mistakes. And you know, the thing is here, I don't blame people for making that mistake, because guess what? I see it from realtors. I see realtors do it when it's their own home. It's crazy. It happens over and over and over again that they, hold on 1 second. I'm getting, I have my everything silenced on my home, on my home screen here on my computer. And I'm still getting notifications for some reason. I don't understand why that's happening. I need to tweak my settings. But I see realtors all of the time that when it comes to their home, they throw out all the information that they have, all that they've learned over so many years about how to price a home, and they just go to, I need to price my home higher. I need to get more money. And they make the same mistake because it's an emotional decision. And it's really hard, even for those that do this for a living, it's really hard to take the emotion out of it. You know, the last home that I sold for myself, my primary residence, there's no emotion in when I flip a home. There's no emotion. I hate flipping homes. That's the emotion. The emotion is hatred and anger. I just want to sell and get out of it, and just be done with it every single time. I've actually only one time had to sell a primary residence. I'm in my third primary residence that I own. The first one I converted to an Airbnb, the second one I sold, and the third one I live in. And I still have the Airbnb. So where am I going with this? Well, that second one that I sold, I had to grapple with this. And it was a unique home. It was hard to price. And so I priced it what I felt like was fair. And I was right. I made the right decision. I ended up selling it for, I believe it was $15,000 above what it was listed for. And so I felt great about that. But I can't tell you how many, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I can't tell you how many realtors don't do that. When it's their home, they're just like, oh, I can't, I need to get more money. It's worth more. Trust me. I pulled comps from the neighborhood from, you know, I didn't really like the comps in my neighborhood, so I pulled comps from the neighborhood across the street. Yeah, you pulled comps from a neighborhood that's not comparable. Don't do that. That's a rookie mistake. But I see agents that have been in the business for 20 or 25 years make these sorts of mistakes, and it's bad. And so I don't blame you. Selling a home is emotional. Buying a home is emotional. But you have to try to take as much of the emotion out of it and think about the emotion and how stressful it is when a home sits on the market for a while, and then you have you either don't get showings, you get showings, and you start to get that feedback that says, this home's overpriced, it needs this, it needs that, it's struggling here, it's struggling there, you know, all these different things. And that ends up, that can really be cause some people to really spiral emotionally. And then you have to make those price reductions. And then that doesn't feel good. And then it's like, how's the market going to respond? Is the market going to like it? Are they not going to like it? You know, what do we do? What, you know, will we have to reduce the price again? Like, where are we actually going to sell this for? And I told you guys that I have started to use a completely different pricing strategy that heavily relies on, in Paragon, the price analysis tool. I found out that no other realtors are doing this. So I guess that gives me an advantage. If you're a realtor listening to this, you might want to figure that out and figure out how to make that your advantage. But that has done wonders for me. I listed two homes the past week. One of them I already said is in multiple offers. The other one's under contract. Why? I priced it right. I marketed it right. That's it. And well, and I will give my clients a lot of credit that they had me go through and make my suggestions, and they took all of my suggestions. They did them all, and they did them very well. Like, it takes two to tango, and if, you know, not every client is like that at the end of the day. Most of them are, but not everyone is like that. So I'm greatly appreciative of that too. But what you don't want to do, you don't want to sell your home for 5.36% less than the average. You don't want to have to do 44.87% more buyer closing costs. You don't want to have to sell your home for 12% less than the average of versus what it's listed for. You don't want any of those things. Well, there's a way to avoid those things, and that is by pricing your home correctly. If you have questions on that, let me know. I'd be happy to chat with you guys about that, exactly how that works, how this price analysis tool that I use works in conjunction with looking at comps and all of that. And hey, if you want to sell your home and get the highest value in the lowest amount of time possible, I'm your guy. Reach out to me. My contact information is in the show notes. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please like, rate, review, subscribe, all of those good things. And we will talk to you guys again next time.